drawn. For the next 3 weeks, the Inverina Hall's booked up. So next Sunday is going to be in Dorney Hall, and possibly the Sundays after?
Not the Sunday after.
But definitely next week in Dorney Hall, and then we'll take it from there. Yeah, that would be really exciting to be in Dorney as well. Again, so I'm going to hand... We just go straight into the first song? Yeah. So first song this morning is on Bulletin. This week with the kids at the Holiday Club, we're looking at God, the perfect gardener, how he made us a perfect garden. I think there's more of that to come. Colin's going to be sharing, but we're going to sing this first song, Creator God. Everyone, up on your feet. So this song's Creator God. We're singing it to the Creator God of all the world. That's some actions to get you started.
Excellently done. I hope we're all aerobically fit now and feeling a lot better. So it's good to sing praises to our God. It's good to celebrate and worship him. And that's what we're here today to do. But to continue our worship of him, we're going to pray together. And I'm asking Ken to come up and lead us in prayer, please. Ken.
Let's bow our heads in prayer to Almighty God. Almighty and everlasting God, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of your goodness and kindness, for your mercy towards us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins through him who died for us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to each and every believer. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you that you are good and all that you do is good. Thank you that your word is good, that the message of salvation is good, good news. And we thank you for this last week and for the spread of the gospel amongst these young lives. And that you, Lord, have ordained praise from the lips of children and infants to your eternal glory. Oh, Lord, it is good to know you. It is good to know the forgiveness of sins. It is good to know the promises of God given to us in Scripture. Lord, we thank you and we pray for the growth, the germination of the seed of the word that has been planted this week in so many souls. We pray against the devil who would snatch that seed away, and pray for the work of your Holy Spirit who convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Lord, that you would germinate new life in many lives. And Lord, we pray for our area here, that you might see fit to visit us in revival and awakening, in new life. That many who don't yet know you would come to know you. That many that are spiritually asleep or spiritually dead would be awakened to new life by you. Lord, we pray for this spread of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for every soul here today and every family represented, and ask your rich blessing upon all, for those who are visiting, for those who have come for the because of the children's club, and Lord, for each and every one here. Lord, have mercy on us. And as we hear your word here today, would you generate that saving faith, increase that saving faith in us as we hear the word of God. Father, we confess our sins to you and ask for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Each of us has sinned in word and thought and deed, and we are without excuse, and we have no rights to claim before you. All we can do is ask for your mercy, trusting in the promise that you've given us, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us, Lord, for Jesus' sake, we pray. Bless this service. Bless everyone who is gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Up and down this land, we pray. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Heal us where we're sick. Help us to depend on you and trust in you. Bring your goodness to bear in our lives. Make our light to shine into the world. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, giving thanks and praise to you, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. Amen.
We're going to sing again, and we're singing from the Sing Psalms book, the blue book. We're singing from Sing Psalm 16, which is in front of the book. It's on page, where are we? Page 17. We're singing from verse 8. Before me constantly I set the Lord alone, because he is at my right hand. I'll not be overthrown. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue with joy will sing. My body too will rest secure in hope unwavering. We'll be singing from verse 8 down to the end of the Psalms. That's Sing Psalms 16, page 17 of the Blue Book, to God's praise. We'll stand to sing.
Because he is at my
wanted to be sure, has everybody got a psalm book? We seem to have run out, which is a great problem to have. But if anybody's not got one, we can share and swap them out. But let it be known, take now or forever, hold your peace. We're all good. Okay. Our reading today, our Bible reading, comes from John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 3, reading from verse 6 to verse 21. And that can be found on page 1066 of the Red Bibles, the Pew Bibles. It's John chapter 3, from verse 16 till the end of that little section, till verse 21. And Anna is going to read for us.
Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what they have done and what has been done in the sight of God.
Thank you, Anna. Amen, and may the Lord bless that reading of his holy word, and in his name be all the praise and all the glory. We'll sing again from the Blue Book. It's Sing Psalms 27 this time. Sing Psalms 27. And that can be found on page 31 of the Blue Book. I will be singing the first five verses of this, down to the verse mark 5, I should say. The Lord's my Saviour and my light, who will make me dismayed? The Lord's the stronghold of my life, why should I be afraid? Sing Psalms 27, page 31 of the book. Singing from the verse marked 1 to the verse marked 5, to God's praise. We'll stand to sing. Let us pray. Lord, as we have heard your word, and as we now turn to look at it, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, that we would see the beauty of the Lord and know you all our days, serve you all our days, live for you all our days. Lord, bless us as we share your word together. Minister to us with your Spirit. Lift us to that place that is higher than we are. Open our hearts to what you would have us know of you. So bless us, Lord, for your name and for your glory. May it all be to your glory, Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' precious name we ask this. Amen. Well, before the Holiday Club and the Youth Activity Week, I was praying that things would go well, that the children and the young people would have a wonderful time, and that they would learn more and more about the awesome good news that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I was praying, the words of the psalm we have just sung, Psalm 27, came to me. And at that verse 4 of that psalm, the psalmist asks that all the days of my life I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And that became my prayer for both clubs for the whole week, that the children and young people would see the beauty of the Lord, see his wondrous love for them, his all-encompassing love for them, his awesome care and compassion, and his perfect salvation plan for their lives. And as for the Holiday Club and Youth Activity Week, so it is for today. I want to pray that same thing. I want us to pray that together, that we would see and see again the beauty of the Lord as we look through the Holiday Club daily teaching, summed up on the verses on my high-tech smart screen. As you can see, this is about as high-tech as I get. As long as the blue tack holds, we should be okay. And it's summed up by the verses from John chapter 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Holiday Club daily teaching was a garden theme, as Finlay has mentioned. It was a complicated one. I've written it down, so I got a wee step ahead of Finlay. It was the Great Green Garden Show. And we used the illustration of a garden as we looked through the whole narrative of the Bible. Day one was the perfect garden. Day two, the spoiled garden. Day three, the hopeless garden. Day four, the hope-filled garden. Day five, the restored garden. These verses here encapsulate the whole Bible story of God's love and care for us and his amazing rescue plan for the world. So let's plunge straight in to day one. Day one, we looked at the perfect garden. And as we look at our memory verse, we see, for God so loved the world. So how does he show that love? Well, in many ways, many, many ways. But one of the ways he shows and showed his love and care for us is in his creation. In the Bible, at Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, it tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. He created them from nothing. He created them by the power of his voice. He created light. He created day and night. He created sky and water. He created land and sea. He created plants, grasses, flowers, trees, seeds. He created sun and moon. He created all the living creatures, fish, animals, and birds. And he created us in his image. He created us to live in that perfect world, to enjoy its richness, its diversity, its creativity, all of its goodness. He created it all, and he created it all perfectly. And he created us to enjoy that perfect beauty and splendor to the full. And being made in God's image marks us out from the rest of creation. We're different. We can enjoy creativity, diversity, love, and relationships. We can think, we can reason, we can explore, we can examine, we can gain knowledge of all that God has made. He has given us that because we are made in his image. And because we are made in his image, we are created to be in a full and fully enjoy a close personal relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. We can enjoy loving relationships with one another, and we can enjoy perfect relationship with his creation. And we were tasked, humanity was tasked with looking after his creation under his loving care and guidance. So God was in charge. We were in charge of creation under God. And everything was perfect. And God said it is very good. His great care and love for us is shown in the perfection that he intended us to live in. Because God loves us. That was the main point of day one. God loves us so much. Created everything perfect so that we could enjoy it with him forever. Fortunately, it didn't end there. We had to move on to day two. And on day two, we looked at the spoiled garden. Our memory verse tells us that he gave his one and only son. Why would God need to give his one and only son? Well, on day two, we looked at the world and how it is now. And we don't have to really be experts to see that it is not the perfect world that God described in Genesis 1 and 2. We are not in perfect relationship with God. We're not in perfect relationship with one another. And we are not in perfect relationship with creation, our environment. Somewhere, somehow, it all went wrong. And Genesis tells us, Genesis chapter 3 tells us what it was that went wrong. Because despite living in the perfect world, man and woman were not satisfied. They were tempted to believe God was withholding something from them, that he didn't have their best interests at heart, and that they would find a better way if they just rejected God's rule and ruled creation themselves. So they rebelled against God. And what the Bible describes as sin, going against God, entered the world. It entered God's perfect creation, and it had an immediate effect. And it's telling, when we read through Genesis 3, to look at the reaction of the man and the woman to their wrongdoing, and the reaction of God to the wrongdoing. It's not really what we would expect. We are told that man and woman immediately knew that they'd done wrong. So they went and hid from God in shame and in fear. Now, these two new things were new. God had never created them. They were new. Something had gone far wrong. And in a way, we are not so unlike them. When we try to hide our wrongdoings, we try to cover them up. And because of our sheer shame and fear, we fear what God might do to us. So we hide from him too. We're a bit like children shutting our eyes and thinking that we can't be seen. Or we can get angry and we can start to think or believe, convince ourselves that God doesn't really exist. We put our fingers in our ears and we look away, trying to look anywhere, trying to ignore the elephant in the room. Or we can just put it all off for another day. Don't want to think about that. Knowing full well that this other day will never come. We don't like to think of our shortcomings and our wrongdoings beside a perfect, spotless, all-knowing, all-seeing God. But what is God's response? That's the important thing. What is God's response to this rebellion and sin? Well, again, in Genesis 3, we're told that as soon as it all went wrong, as soon as the rebellion had happened, God's first response wasn't anger, wasn't condemnation or judgment. God's response was a question. He called out, "Where are you? Where are you?" A sinful man and woman cowered in the bushes. God's first response is a desire to restore, a desire to repair, to bring them back, to bring us back to Him. And God's second response is even more amazing. His second response is a promise. Because right there at the beginning, when it had all gone wrong, He promises to send someone to fix the problem. He promises to fix the problem Himself. He will send someone who will restore perfection to His creation and will mend the broken relationships between humanity and Himself. It's God's very first promise of the Saviour, right at the beginning, after it had all gone wrong. God wants to restore. And so it is in the brokenness and sin in the world. As we read our Bibles, we repeatedly see God wanting to restore, God calling out through the prophets to His people, promising to mend what we have broken, and patiently, long-sufferingly, faithfully laying out His salvation plan. Because of His great love and compassion, God gave us His one and only Son. In day 3, we reached the hopeless garden. We found ourselves at the low point. Our memory verse tells us that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why would the world need to be condemned? Well, we look at our world. We looked at the problems of our world. We see hate, war, greed, famine, global pollution, sickness, illness, death. I could go on and on and on and on and on. And we thought, yes, well, we can do small things to try and alleviate these problems. But we can't really solve them. They're just too big. So we thought, what can we do? Well, maybe we can start with ourselves. That would be a good start. Maybe we can sort ourselves out. So again, we looked at the Bible, and we looked at what it calls sin, and we looked at our own lives. We quickly saw that although we might not be too bad, or we think we're not too bad all in all, we're not perfect either. We've all done wrong things, each and every one of us in here. We're all equal in that respect. We've not followed God's perfect plan for our lives. We're all guilty, equally guilty. We all have sin in our lives. We can't deny it, and we have no place for pride. So we thought, right, okay, maybe we can fix ourselves just by being good all the time. That didn't last very long. We just can't do it. We cannot be good all the time. And we can never meet God's perfection. So we're stuck. We can't fix the world problems. We can't even fix ourselves. And then we thought about right and wrong. And because we're made in God's image, we all carry an idea of justice and fairness. And that justice must be paid for, it must be punished, or it's simply not fair. A sin must be paid for, I should say. It must be punished. There must be justice, but it's simply not fair. And that leads us to a fairly uncomfortable place. When we come to the end of that thinking, we realise that a completely fair and just God must punish wrongdoing, or he wouldn't be completely fair and just. Speaking of myself, I know I'm happy to go dealing with other people's sins. Maybe we're all like this, but I'm less than happy with them looking at mine or ours. If the Bible is true, and I wholeheartedly believe that it is, then we see that willful wrongdoing and rebellion against God, what the Bible calls sin, separates us from God. And we deserve his perfect and fair judgment on our sin. And that judgment is to be excluded from him and from his presence. And for all the good and perfect things that he created, to be excluded from that forever, for eternity. Is that it? Is that our fate? Are we utterly hopeless? And we remembered God's promise, that first one, that he would fix the problem, that he would send someone who could save us. And we saw that there was someone who the whole of the Old Testament has been pointing to, someone who is both God and man, with all God's power and authority, someone who would have compassion and wisdom and loving kindness towards us, to know what it was like to be us, and who would live the perfect life that we are unable to live. And we saw that this person is Jesus. In the Bible, the whole of the Old Testament prophecies can be summed up as, there's a Savior coming. God is telling his people, there's a Savior coming, there's a Savior coming, there's a Savior coming. Then we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, saying, the Savior has come, it's Jesus. Look, look, look at him. He is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so we move on from hopelessness to hope-filled, the hope-filled garden. And again, we look at our memory verse. It says that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. On day four, we looked at the life, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. We saw that Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus had the power and authority of God in his teaching, in his compassion, in his healing, in his rising of the dead, in his power over nature and his power over evil. He showed again and again that he is God. God in human form. And Jesus came to fulfill that promise God made right at the beginning. Here at last is the one who will make things right. Here is our Savior. And what a salvation plan he brings with him. As we looked at, God is a fair and a just God, so sin must be punished. But God is also a loving, merciful, compassionate, forgiving God who wants to save, who doesn't want anyone to perish. So how can these opposite demands be brought together? And that is the heart, the very beating heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ, God himself, in his perfection and his power, he chose deliberately and faithfully to go to the cross of Calvary, to die a criminal's death for us, to take human sin on himself, and to face the righteous wrath and punishment of a just God on our sin. The punishment we deserved, he took, so that we would not have to face it. And because of his resurrection from the dead, he proves that he has triumphed over sin and over death. So we can know for certain that if we believe, put our hope and put our trust and give our lives to him, we will also triumph over sin and death. Jesus is our eternal future. It is assured. He is our hope. He is our only hope. There is no other. And that hope is a certain, sure hope. Because he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So finally, we come to day 5, the restored garden. And looking at our memory verse, we see, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. As we looked at, the Old Testament repeatedly tells us there is a Saviour coming. The fourth gospel tells us, here is your Saviour, it is Jesus. And then the rest of the New Testament moves on to tell us repeatedly over and over again, there is a judgment coming. There is a judge coming. Jesus ascended into heaven, but he will return. Not this time as Saviour, but as judge of the whole world. And he will judge us on what we have chosen to do with his offer of salvation. That sounds a bit scary. Until you think of who the judge is. The judge is Jesus. The one who died for our sins. So we will face judgment on Judgment Day, but our judge will also be our Saviour. What a majestic gospel plan this is. Who could have thought this up but God alone? Jesus offers us what's known as the great transaction. He's offering it right now, right here today. If you haven't accepted it, it's right here before you. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us in his own words, that if we believe in him and we follow him and we give our lives to him, then he will take all our sins. The sins that would condemn us to separation from God for eternity. He takes them on himself. He takes all our sin and yuck. And in return, he gives us his spotless, perfect righteousness. So when we face him on Judgment Day, he'll not look at the sins that condemn us, because he's already been punished for them. He's taken that punishment. He will look at the perfect righteousness he has given us, and he will credit that to us. So we have the choice, clearly offered in the memory verse, to perish, to reject God's and Jesus' freely offered salvation plan, to say, no, I don't want that. And on death and on Judgment Day, we must then carry our own sins before Jesus and take the condemnation for them. Or are we going to take that free offer of salvation to repent and receive him as Lord and Saviour? Are we going to
and receive his perfect, spotless righteousness. Receive him as Lord, as Saviour, and be assured of his presence in the rest of our lives and an eternal future in bliss with him in a new, fully restored heavens and earth, where there will be no more sin, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Jesus is calling out to us to come. His arms are open wide. He's crying, "Where are you? Don't hide. Don't hide. Come." He wants us to come. He is Jesus. He is not to be feared. He is beautiful. And he's waiting. Come to him. Receive that free offer. Come to him again. See his beauty and be encouraged in our walk with him. Come to Jesus. He is the beauty of the Lord. Let us look on him all our days and be blessed. Amen. Now then, a little bit of a challenge here with this last song. It's on the back of the bulletin. It's "For God So Loved the World." It's basically this memory verse. Now, Aaron and Finlay are going to come up and do the actions for us. Now, we sing it through twice, and then it gets complicated. Because we're going to sing it as a round. So this side, on the third time, we'll start off "For God So Loved the World," and then move on to "Heaven's for Life." You guys are all going to wait until they've got to "Shall Not Die and Have Eternal Life," and then you'll start "For God So Loved the World," and we sing it, I think it's once or maybe twice through, as a round. A bit of a challenge. Let's do our best. Go follow Aaron and Finlay, and I'll hide behind the table in case you close in something. Sorry, this side starts. Yes. Thank you, sir. Yes. Okay. But we sing it through together twice so you get an idea of the song. Stand to sing.
Let's do it. Okay.
So we're starting, and then you guys join in.
So loved the world, he gave.
yourselves a round of applause. Right. For our blessing, I'm going to ask Aaron to stay here because we're going to say together the memory verse, and Aaron's got the actions for us, for those of you guys who remember them. So we'll say the memory verse together. That's our closing prayer. For
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
Thank you, Aaron. I'd just like to repeat Finlay's welcome and invitation to come along to the barbecue. Thank you for coming today. It's been really good that you came and we all spend this Sunday and time of worship together. Please do stay if you can. There'll be tea and coffees, there'll be burgers for the barbecue. If you can make it, please do stay and join us. Thank you. God bless you.